A weak solidarity Bricky team listener when, well, last week we commented on the same day big economic guru Josh Frydom Icebergs ordered an inquiry into the damage union super funds were causing the esteemed practitioners of the greatest little economic order of them all, damage like fiscal indigestion. A totally unbiased, no predetermined outcome inquiry led by the equally neutral ex-Institute of Public, very, very private affairs poly Tim Wilgett Union son. He also announced he would not allow a review into the at least 25 billion JobKeeper rip-offs by those esteemed practitioners. Well, this week, Josh went one better. He turned the debt collectors loose on workers who received JobKeeper, who therefore, for some reason, owe the government money they allegedly ripped off. Many of whom may have been ripped off by their caring employers, as the revelation that caring employers had ripped off at least 25 bill pointed out many had pocketed the windfall and not passed it on to those for whom it was intended. Josh, why are you going after workers and not going after the 25 bill or at least 25 bill your mates or well, caring employers ripped off? Well, obviously, on the one hand, we are dealing with lazy, avaricious workers and dole bludgers, and on the other hand, we are dealing with caring employers. Yes, but why treat them differently? Well, obviously, on the one hand, we are dealing with lazy, avaricious workers and dole bludgers, and on the other hand, we are dealing with caring employers. I suppose that's a reasonable explanation. Well, it's the best we're going to get. And the caring employers certainly care for a quid. Oh, and Josh's concern for lazy, avaricious workers and even-handedness toward evil unions was franked when he accused the Socialist Party of hypocrisy for not demanding trade unions who have made donations to the Socialist Party repay JobKeeper payments they received. Well, possibly, Josh, because they didn't rip off. And Josh would know not one of the caring employers ripping off the at least 25 bill would have ever donated a cent to the caring business class party. Also mentioned last week, the Troubler Aussie Capitalist Review, speaking for those who understand these things, death's part of living with virus. We did suggest it's rather part of not living with, and its proponents don't see themselves as the not living. Well, this week, one of the giant minds of the Hayseed and Cheapshit Party, Matt Canavan of Coal, wrote a whole think piece for the Capitalist Review, to elevate it several thousand percent above the thinking that went into it, in which he calculated each life saved by the Sydney lockdown cost the economy $330 million. Real figure, listener, he rewrote that. No, I've got no idea either how he dredged that up. He produced some amazing maths, subsequently demolished by Richard Dennis of the Troubler Aussie Institute, who suggested Matt's figures were out by roughly 100%, give or take. Apart from the morality of valuing private profit over life, but then they do that by the day. It's just that a pandemic highlights the equation. However, I raise Matt's major contribution to literature and logic because I'm sure you have mistakenly concluded Matt's motivation in arguing for no lockdowns, just learn to die with the virus, was to defend the rights of the caring business class and the great resource behemoths. Well, you couldn't have been more wrong. Well, we couldn't, because I made the same mistake. See, Matt said the lockdown and its massive costs, $330 million for each life saved, badly affected the poor. And he was the great defender of the poorest of the poor. Like his 330 mil figure, he didn't quite explain the logic of that one either, but what a champion of the down and out. Who, if Matt gets his way, will soon be down and out, disposed of in a pauper's grave. We now look forward to Matt's treatise on this UN of the US of the UN of the World panel on climate change report predicting dire consequences for the planet, given that Matt at least concedes that COVID exists, whereas he knows climate change doesn't exist. But I'm sure he could give us an accurately assessed figure on what it would cost to save every life of every creature on Earth from something that isn't happening. And the good news is, it doesn't matter, because we're going to exceed our target anyway. Big Supremo Scuttle Them More Lash Son, a.k.a. ScoMo, told us so. We are leading the world. We will meet and exceed our target. But we haven't got a target. And we will meet and exceed it. ScoMo's deputy big supremo and Matt's hayseed and sheepshit party supremo Barnacle, it's just giant mind after giant mind, isn't it, said we couldn't rush into reacting to the UNOB report without knowing the costs of acting to prevent that which is not happening anyway. And when asked what would be the costs of not acting, Barnacle said that was a trick question, presumably because he couldn't think of a tricky enough answer. But people had to come up with answers that wouldn't cost, and when asked wasn't it the business of government to come up with answers, Barnacle said, no, no, it was up to the CSIRO and scientists to come up with the answer. Not sure who he thought wrote the intergovernmental report, but anyway, given the government's and Barnacle's much publicised acceptance of the science, can we just spot the odd flaw in Barnacle's argument? So you now believe in the science. Depends. On what? On what they, you know, like, say? It's almost certain they'll say we must eliminate fossils. Then that would be, like, you know, a matter for government to, like, decide. But you just said it was up to the CSIRO and scientists. Only if they know what they're, you know, like, talking about, and up to date they haven't got a, like, clue. Well, at least the old Barnacle fronted up for the interview, whereas the minister responsible for championing the fossils, Angus Tailings, ignored the responsible bit and was unavailable. Apparently on the day the scathing report on matters for which he is responsible was released, Angus didn't think it was any of his business to respond, leaving us to ponder what he thinks he gets paid for. Ditto the Minister for Environmental Obfuscation, Lees and Dregs, who headed across the world a couple of weeks ago to convince the World Heritage Council not to declare the endangered not-so-great-anymore barrier reef from being declared endangered, describing her success as a great day for true blue Aussie, even if it was not so great a day for the poor bloody reef. And we know some admirable young people took her to the federal court, which ruled she had a duty of care to protect them from the ravages of climate change, if there is such a thing. And now she is appealing that decision on our behalf using public funds, declaring she has no duty of care to protect future generations against a threat to the future of the planet, leaving us to ponder again what she thinks she gets paid for, other than to deny there are any threats to the environment. Well, when climate change is discussed, the response comes from Angus, the Minister for Fossils and Scuttle Them, who knows that if the dear baby Jesus made all those fossils, then they must be good for all of us and good for the great resource corporations. So obviously the environmental portfolio has nothing to do with climate change, if there is, the environment obfuscation portfolio. That may be her defence. They sued the wrong minister. The environment has nothing to do with the environment, with climate change, if there is. Thankfully, the Socialist Party has a policy to develop a policy sometime before the end of the planet. Its spokesperson, Chris Bowen, to Capital, attacking the government for not having a policy, but announcing the Socialist Party does not need to have a policy, which exacerbates the government's lack of policy. We can't announce a policy until the government finally announces a policy, Chris explained. Why not? Because we don't know what we have to agree with. We can't risk announcing a policy the government could attack us over. True Blue Aussie's biggest polluter, AG Held to the Planet Supremo Graham Hunt for Profits, pointed out sensibly that coal will be needed for many years to come. And even more sensibly, in his Hunt for Profits, advocated that the national electricity market could provide payments for coal and gas plants beyond the power they produce. What a brilliant response to the UNOB report. More government corporate welfare for fossils. At least we've got to admire their audacity. We also laid odds last week after US of the UN of the US of the world train killers in Darwin were allowed to be slapped over the wrist by the US of legal system for crimes committed against True Blue Aussie law in True Blue Aussie, rape and assault, odds that our laser-like legal-minded Attorney General Michaela Costa-Workers would demand the US of return the favour by releasing Julian Assange immediately. As it turned out, Michaela surprisingly didn't order the US OB to release Julian. While the US OB turned up in a London court to inform the bench the bench had been misled by an expert psychiatric report in refusing extradition based on nothing more than the expert psychiatric report. The US OB insists the court must reject this expert fallacy and accept the expert opinion of the US OB that the accused is guilty of exposing US OB war crimes, which everyone knows are not war crimes, but actions essential to the US OB fulfilling its God-given role as the upholder of world peace. God bless America. And of course, apart from the minor fact that there is no plea of not guilty allowed for the crimes he is charged with, exposing US of war crimes, he would naturally receive a fair trial. He would naturally get two life sentences plus 75 years, just to make a good thing of it. And back here, our number one trained killer, Angus Camp, for whom the bell tolls, announced an internal inquiry that should sort it out, into serious failings uncovered by the report into Triple Aussie war crimes in Afghanistan. And hasn't the invasion by the coalition of the killing worked a treat? Serious failings, Angus. Yes, we must make sure that in future these matters never see the light of day. Finally, the sundry inquiries uncovering the proof of what we knew anyway of the criminality down at Jamie Puker's Crook casinos, Jamie and Crook chairperson Helen Conlem says they should be allowed to retain their interests in the private mint and their reputations. Well, let's relieve them of that worry. Let's assure them, Helen, Jamie, your reputations are guaranteed. Good morning.